Heavenly Father, we gather now around your word and ask that it would be a light to our feet and a lamp to our paths. In Jesus' name, amen. Let me read another famous passage to you. This is from Hebrews chapter 12. Since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. It's one of those great encouraging passages, isn't it? But did you notice, as I read it, the context of it? It's suffering and opposition. The Lord Jesus, in his ministry and his mission, confronts the world, and that leads to suffering and opposition. People hate him. People hate what he says and what he's about. Oh no, they love him. No. Maundy Thursday, they're going to go out of that room to the Mount of Olives, where he's going to be arrested by people with swords and clubs. No, they hate him. But it's not just the Lord Jesus. The Holy Spirit's ministry confronts the world as well, as we're going to find out from his words in John 15 and 16. And people hate it, and they hate him. So Jesus, as we go back to John 15 and 16, is in the Lord's, it's the Lord's Supper, the Last Supper, beg pardon, the Last Supper. And he's teaching his disciples, got much to say to them, he says, but he's going to save some of it till later. And he's about to endure all kinds of opposition and difficulty. He says to his disciples, you will too, but they're not going to be alone. Now, prior to the bit we're reading, he has spoken about the coming of the Holy Spirit, about how they need to remain in Jesus, the true vine. And the very last thing he said is, this is my command, love each other. Chapter 15, verse 17. And now he says, remember, this is my command, love each other. Now he says, if the world hates you, we go from love to hate within just a few words. And we're going to see two things from this chunk that we've heard read out. So first of all, the world will persecute you as you testify to Jesus. The world will persecute you as you testify to Jesus. Jesus explains to his disciples that the world is hostile to him, and so it's going to be hostile to them as well, and anyone who testifies about him. He describes why there is persecution in the first few verses, verses 18 to 25. And I don't know if you've noticed this, but there are three pairs of ifs. He says if six times. And each pair relates to something. They're all comparisons with his ministry. So verse 18 and 19, if the world hates you, keep in mind it hated me first. If you belong to the world, it would love you as its own. They're not of the world, his disciples, just as Jesus is not of the world. And the world is going to hate them for it, because they hated Jesus first. And then verse 20. Remember what I told you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they'll persecute you also. If they obey my teaching, they'll obey yours also. And there's going to be a mixed reaction, mixed response for Jesus' disciples as they testify to Jesus. Was Jesus persecuted? He's about to be. They will be. Did some people listen to Jesus? Yes. And some will listen to his disciples. And then verses 22 and 24. If I had not come and spoken to them, they'd not be guilty of sin. If I had not done among them the works no one else did, they would not be guilty of sin. Sorry, I missed a knot out in the first one. Two knots. If I had not come and spoken to them, they would not be guilty of sin. If I had not done among them the works no one else did, they would not be guilty of sin. Jesus' words and his works are why there's persecution. They hate him without reason, verse 25. because of his word and his works. So this is why there's persecution for Jesus and for his disciples, because what they do to the master, they're going to do to his followers. And we discover that even when Jesus goes, the witness that he has been giving to God's purpose and plans, God's salvation, will continue. Verse 26 and 27. Jesus goes and the Spirit comes. But not just the Spirit testifying. He will. The Spirit of truth who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me, says Jesus. And you also must testify, for you have been with me from the beginning. So the apostles are going to testify. The witness will continue. And then he goes on to describe the danger they're going to face. And he puts it very bluntly. Verse 2 of chapter 16. They will put you out of the synagogue. In fact, the time is coming when anyone who kills you will think they're offering a service to God. But the real danger they're facing isn't death. What is it? Have a look. Verse 1. Chapter 16, verse 1. What's the real danger? All this I've told you so that you will not fall away. Apostasy would be the real danger. It's going to be very tough, and Jesus is preparing them so that they won't fall away, so they'll stick with him. It's going to be hard to keep testifying to Jesus. And we know it's hard, don't we? Because we experience that today. I don't know if you listen to Radio 4, and in the morning there's the Today program. They have a thing called Thought for the Day. And it's interesting, they have this Sikh guy who comes on, and whenever he comes on, he's always blurting out Sikh scriptures left, right and centre, telling everybody what the guru says. And then you get Christians on and you struggle to hear the name Jesus or a bit of the Bible. It's as if we're embarrassed of speaking about him. We've kind of learned to keep it away, hidden, because of the opposition that comes when we do actually speak about him. It's tough. And the real danger is that we fall away, because the world will persecute disciples as they testify to Jesus. So as we see Jesus preparing his disciples for walking out the door of the upper room and into the next phase of what's going to happen, it's a reminder to us not to be surprised that danger awaits disciples. Lots of people would want to tell you that wealth and comfort and all these wonderful things await disciples. Turn to Jesus, everything will be wonderful and perfect. And Jesus says, come to me, and the world might well hate you. It might actually be really difficult. Your family members might think you're bonkers. Your colleagues might laugh and make jokes about what you believe whenever you talk. So don't be surprised. And choose your side. Choose your side. Which way will you go? Will you go with the world or with Jesus? Will you go with the world or with suffering? And let's go with Jesus. Let's go where the danger awaits, because we want to follow Jesus. But we're not left just like that, because Jesus is telling us something else in these verses as well. The world will persecute you as you testify to Jesus, and the Spirit will help you as you testify to Jesus. The Spirit will help you as you testify to Jesus. So from verse 4 onwards, the coming advocate, also translated counselor, he's vital. He's absolutely vital to the job of testifying, making Jesus known, being a witness. Perhaps not quite as you expect him to be. He's not simply empowering believers. There's something else going on as well. So, excuse me a moment, a little drink. End of verse 5 and into verse 6. There's a sadness with the disciples at this time. It's a pretty bewildering time for them, this, the Last Supper, with Jesus saying these things. They haven't really cottoned on to the fact that he's going to be crucified soon, so it's all a bit odd for them, but they're filled with grief because he said these things. And Jesus said, actually, do you know what? It's better if I go away. I've got to go away. And by going away, he means going to the cross, and then through the cross to resurrection, eventually to ascension, where he will leave them. So he's going to go away, chapter 16, verse 5, verse 6, and verse 7. But it's better because unless I go away, verse 7, the advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. So the Holy Spirit is on his way with two roles, one for the world and one for the apostles here. For the world, verses 8 to 11, he's going to prove the world to be in the wrong about various things. You might remember the previous version of the NIV translated this as convict the world. It's quite a good word, isn't it? So it's a kind of, in the dock word again, a courtroom word. The prosecution is going to say, well, world, this is the charge against you. And that prosecutor is going to be the Holy Spirit, convicting the world of their guilt in respect to three things: sin, righteousness, and judgment. And they're going to realise that they are sinful with the help of the Holy Spirit. They're going to see what righteousness really looks like with the Holy Spirit, helping them to look at Jesus. And they're going to understand judgment because they're going to see that the one they follow, the prince of this world, is actually condemned. And when you think of it, these are things that Jesus used to do. This is what Jesus did as he went around preaching to the people. Remember when Peter first met Jesus, maybe it wasn't when he first met him, but certainly on, early on in Peter's encounters, there he was out fishing, hadn't caught anything. Jesus told him, fish on the other side. Wow, lots of fish. And Peter says, go away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man. Jesus convicts him of sin, righteousness, and judgment. Sin, his own sin. He's a sinful man. Righteousness, go away from me, Lord. He sees the wonder of righteousness of Jesus. And judgment, he realizes he's condemned. So Jesus did these things, and now the Holy Spirit is going to do the same in people's lives. So the Holy Spirit is going to have a role in the world. The Spirit will help you as you testify about Jesus. God is going to be at work in people's hearts. Not everyone's hearts, but some people's hearts, helping them to know about Jesus. And then there's a role in the apostles as well. So the role in the world to convince people they're in the wrong and they need Jesus. And there's a role in the apostles, verses 12 to 15. You've got to be a bit careful with this passage because it's very easy for us to read this and think that you, when he says to you, I have much to say to you, it's very easy to think that's us. Okay. Have a look at verse 16. This is outside our passage. Jesus went on to say, in a little while you will see me no more, and then after a little while you will see me. Is that you? Is he speaking to you there? It's not, is he? It doesn't apply to you or me. There's no way we put this on a post to this verse. He's speaking to the apostles. Okay? In verse 16, as he is in verses 12 to 15. So when he says, he will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears. And he will tell you what is yet to come. And before that, he will guide you into all truth. This is what he's saying to the apostles. And this is how we have the New Testament. He's going to teach them from Jesus things that will be Jesus' word pointing to the glory of the Lord Jesus. Verse 14, he'll glorify me, says Jesus, about the Holy Spirit as he talks, as he explains the truth to the apostles. He'll glorify me because it's from me that he'll receive what he'll make known to you. I don't know, do you ever watch a concert and you see these people on stage and there's crowds screaming and singing and it's really loud and you wonder, how on earth can the people on stage hear anything that they're doing? And the answer is that they've got these little things called in-ear monitors. They're like hearing aids. They're plugs in their ears. And they're connected to a radio, and the guy on the sound desk is feeding them sound through these ear things. So that the earplug nature of them stops all the screaming and shouting, and they can actually hear the guy on the bass and the person on the drums and the guitar, so they can sing. They can hear their own voice as well. And it's in a similar way, the apostles were going to get the Holy Spirit somehow explaining to them Jesus' word in the clamour of the world around them as they went into Jerusalem and then to Judea and then to the ends of the world. And as they wrote down the letters they were writing to the churches, and as they wrote the Gospels, and as they gave us eventually the New Testament, the Holy Spirit was going to help them. They were going to be content providers. We have a lot of that these days, don't we? People who are content providers. And the Holy Spirit was the ultimate content provider for the apostles. So there's a role in the world for the Spirit and a role for the apostles. And that comes down through the ages to us. So the Holy Spirit still has this role, wonderfully. The Spirit will help us as we testify to Jesus. Yes, it's going to be hard. The world will persecute us as we testify to Jesus. But the Spirit will help us. And from time to time, we'll notice that people are responding in a way that is unimaginable. And we can't work out how has it happened. How come that person is saying these things? I didn't say anything clever. I made a real mess of talking to them. And yet, listen, they want to come to church. Jesus is Lord, they're saying. It's because God is at work by the Holy Spirit in people still today. And then the role in the apostles, still, the Spirit brings to life the very word he gave the apostles and speaks to us through it. We don't get new teaching, but we get the apostles' witness in the New Testament and the prophets' witness in the Old. And it testifies to us about Jesus. It brings glory to God by making him known. Chapter 16, verse 14. Glory to Jesus, making known Jesus to us. So the Spirit helps us as we testify to Jesus today. Jesus said, I have much more to say to you. Well, what he did say to his disciples was very important. And as we think of him preparing to leave the upper room and to go out into the darkness and to be arrested and betrayed, denied, beaten and flogged, he was preparing his disciples for the fact that such opposition, such hardship is a way of life for Christians. As we look at that passage from Hebrews right at the beginning, written years after the resurrection of Jesus, the writer still experiences and knows exactly that. As he says, consider him who endured such opposition from sinners so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. It's a shocking thing, isn't it? Jesus is the greatest person ever to live, ever to teach, ever to act, and people hate him and hate his followers. Now, we're very blessed, and you're probably thinking that nobody really hates me. My friends may occasionally say nasty things, but there are, amongst our friends and families, in our congregations, in our churches, there are people who are hated by people for their testimony about Jesus. And we can expect this to happen because the world hated Jesus. But alongside it, we can also expect God's help. Jesus is gone, but the Holy Spirit has come. And he gives us God's word from the apostles to inform us and help us. And he works in the hearts of people, convicting them, helping them to understand their need for Jesus still today. Let's pray. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that we haven't experienced the hardship that Jesus did, although we know many of our brothers and sisters in Christ have in the past and still do today around the world. And amongst us there are those who have had difficult times because of what friends and family have said and done, because of their faith. And we thank you that you are aware of this. And we thank you for the help that you've given us, both in the warning of what will come, but also through the scriptures, where the Holy Spirit has used the apostles to give us such wonderful truths. And in the Holy Spirit's work today in the hearts of those we testify to, Lord. And we pray more and more that you would be at work as we seek to do what we can to witness to Jesus. That you'd be at work in people's hearts, helping them to see their great need of him and turn to him. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.